The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I want to begin today, brethren, by asking a question. What comes to your mind when you hear the words seek? Well, probably for many of us in the Church of God, we would think of Matthew 6:33. So go with me to Matthew 6:33. Most of us, many of us at least, have this verse committed to memory, but let's go there. Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. However, we need to ask, what does the word seek actually mean in this context? Or maybe more appropriately, we should be asking, what does the word seek actually mean in the context anywhere in the Bible? The Greek word for seek is zeto, and the Hebrew word for seek is bakash. And in both of these languages, it implies a striving after or a desire for what is being sought. And of course, one of the most essential aspects in the life of every true believer is the need to constantly, consistently seeking God. Because here's the thing, brother, it's not just a good idea. No, it is not just a good idea. It is an absolute essential that we seek after God. Seeking God is one of the most fundamental ways for us to worship God. Think about it this way. We need to seek God to know him. And we need to seek God to be able to actually appreciate him fully. And brethren, I want us also to realize we need to continue to seek God until we truly know him. Now, with that in mind, please go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. God's word, no question, tells us how to seek God. The instructions to seek God are found all through the Bible. That's why I gave both the Hebrew and the Greek terms for it, because we find this concept throughout the entirety of the Bible. We can also find the life stories of some of those who did truly seek God very interesting. That's a topic that we can use for another time, but it is a real good thing to do that. So we need to ask, what does seeking God involve? Does the Bible show us what God desires and expects of each one of us? Now, I'm asking that question in the context of seeking who he is and seeking God. And here's an interesting concept to think about. Some might say things like, well, I don't need to seek God because I know he exists and I know who he is. Now, brethren, let's ask, can we simply believe in his existence and label that as seeking God? It's a question. It's a question to consider. Brethren, some of us might settle for seeking God sometimes. I mean, especially when we get into some type of major trouble in our lives. And we ask, do we think God would consider that as an acceptable way to seek him? We've gotten ourselves in trouble and we're seeking God. Would that be an appropriate way? Would God think that's an appropriate way to seek him or to label that as seeking him? So here let me ask another question. What is it that would people What is it that would cause people to stop seeking something? Not just God, but seeking anything. Well, perhaps it is that they have found that what they are seeking. Or perhaps it is because they have become tired of the search. Or perhaps it is because they find it's taking way too long. Or perhaps it is because they have found other interests that stimulate them and that takes up their time. Perhaps they have come to believe that what they are seeking is not worth all the trouble. And of course, perhaps there are other aspects, other reasons for someone to stop seeking whatever it is they're seeking, including God. I mean, think about it this way, because after all, our modern society has many lures and cares of this life that can pile up too high and make us lose our focus, even on seeking God. So, brethren, as we look into this biblical topic today, looking for answers to these and to other questions about seeking God, I want us first of all to take a look at the word itself in both the Old and the New Testament. As I stated earlier, in both the Old and the New Testament, the word seek implies, or it can mean, the striving after or a desire for what is being sought. And I'm sure if we think about those in Old and New Testament, we can come to all kinds of conclusions in looking at various verses. We would probably also come to the conclusion quickly that there are many synonyms for the word seek found in the pages of the Bible. In fact, it is a prominent and a familiar word in Scripture. But what do we really know about it? The verb seek in the present tense is the root for the past tense seeking. So if we want to seek something, we're actually stating in somewhat as an implication there that we're seeking after something. And God's word, seek, is a common word, and according to at least one reference source that I looked into, the word seek appears 433 times in the King James Version. 433 times. I would say that's a pretty significant word. It also has many different synonyms used in many different contexts. A few of those synonyms from both Old and New Testament are words such as search, require, demand, desire, and many, many others. Those are just a few. Here's the point. We seek that which has value to us in some way. When we say we are seeking, we can mean that we're trying to get to the bottom of something. Or it can mean that we are seeking answers when we are inquiring or investigating so that we can come to an informed conclusion. There are also words in the Bible that are opposite to the word seek. One of those words that is opposite to the word seek is the word neglect. Another one is that of avoid. So I think you already can see very clearly where this comes in, that we seek after God because that's what he tells us to do, or the opposite of that is we are neglecting to seek after God, or we're avoiding to seek after God. That's what is being implied here. And brethren, please understand, the Bible explicitly tells us many different things that we are to seek for, as well as telling us several things that we are not to seek for. And of course, probably the most overall important thing is the command that we are investigating today, that of seeking God. Hopefully, we can all benefit from searching the Scriptures on this important topic of seeking God. After all, it can make us all much more aware of God's instructions to seek specific things, especially God Himself. And of course, brethren, our seeking God does not in any way imply that God is lost to us somehow. It does imply that we are setting our will, our thoughts, and our heart to finding Him and to fellowshipping with Him. I have entitled this message, Seek Him with All Our Heart. Now, with what we've seen so far, please go with me to Psalm 119, verse 1. 119 and verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His commandments, that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. These verses imply that those who seek God with all their heart will be living a righteous life. Seeking God cannot be a passive endeavor. Seeking God the way that will work requires a conscious choice to focus and fix our will to do just that, to seek God. It has to be something we are focused on, and it, we already said, consistently and continuously. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 6. You know this verse. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I want you to notice with me, if you would, as Solomon was getting ready to build God's temple, he was told to seek God. Go with me to 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 19. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 19. We can read several verses in this context. I want to read the A part, just the A part of this verse 19. 1 Chronicles 22 verse 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. That is an implication, is being told to seek God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. In other words, seek God with all that you are. This is how important this is. Notice again that seeking God involves the heart. In 1 Chronicles 28, 1 Chronicles 28, we see where David told Solomon that if he would seek God, he would find God. And remember, an important point to consider here is that God wants to be sought and wants to be found. That's an important point to understand. Go with me to 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son, know you, the Lord God of your father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with the willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found. He will be found of you. Therefore, if you forsake Him, notice the second part. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. So there's a choice here. This is what he's being told. Solomon was told this by David. We're being told the same thing by God through Scripture. Seek God with all your heart and all that you are. And if you don't, God is going to cast you off forever. What he's saying here is there is nothing more important than going after God, finding God, and he can be found. That's the point that he's making. Seeking God is a crucial and fundamental pursuit as well as a required pursuit for all who want to worship God his way, God's way, because that's what he wants. And brethren, let's all understand, the desire to seek God is not of our flesh. It is a gift of God's grace. What I mean by that is, without God's calling us and giving us a desire, humans simply do not do it. Let me show you where I'm backing that up from. Romans 8 and verse 7. Romans 8 verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It is not of the human flesh to seek after God. It has to be something that God is giving to us. He gives it to us because we are actually seeking, we are desiring, we are wanting, we are wanting to humble ourselves and to do the things that God is wanting us to do. In Psalm 10, it shows us that pride is at the center of one who refuses to seek God. Psalm 10 and verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. So let's realize, brethren, this is inferring that humility is required. It is required in the process of our coming to seek God, that we do it appropriately, that we do it in humility. In other words, there is a right way to seek God, and that is God's way. In the Hebrew, since this is in the Old Testament, the word for humility is anah, A-N-A-V-O-H. And it can be translated as humility as well as gentleness and meekness. So, brethren, this is implying that God knew that pride would be our biggest obstacle in our way of seeking after God. Therefore, he loved us enough to instruct us in the way of anah. That's what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to be this way. That's humility, gentleness, and meekness. To remind us to remember that we are nothing without him. So we can see the unrighteous simply will not do it at all. They're not going to seek after God. Now, am I implying through that statement that those who are not seeking after God are unrighteous? What do you think? And brethren, seeking God his way will allow us to experience him in so many different wonderful ways. And it comes down into our lives. The psalmist encourages us to both taste and see God's goodness. That's in Psalm 34 and verse 8, the A part of the verse, 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Isaiah tells us that God can be found. The prophet Isaiah tells us that God can be found. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. 55 verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus basically tells us the same thing. But let's go Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Because you see, brethren, when we talk about seeking God, we generally mean that we are seeking his will, or some way that we are seeking to be in his presence. It is an inference of a face-to-face we're implying that we want to be face to face with God. Psalm 27 in verse 8. Psalm 27 in verse 8. When you say, "Seek my face," my heart said unto you, "Your face, Lord, will I seek." Because here's the thing. God wants this face to face. He wants us to be in his presence to have. And we're not going to see God's face in this physical life. That's not the point. But we come to that place that that's what our desire is to be in. And we seek it earnestly, constantly. It is a passionate thing that we're doing to seek God. It's not something that is casually done. So we see, brethren, as we grow in understanding about seeking God, it means that we find priorities mentioned in the Bible. So back in Matthew 6:33, verse where we started, we see how to prioritize the things that we seek. Always. That's what is being implied. Matthew 6:33. But seek you second, third, tenth. Is that what it says? No, it says seek you first. That's a priority. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he concludes that verse by saying, and all these things that he's been addressing back earlier in the chapter is going to be added unto you. And so, brethren, hopefully, but by now it should be becoming clear that seeking God, his righteousness, and his kingdom has to be absolutely first in our lives. It's not a suggestion. Because if we're not putting this first, then we're not really going after God in his ways. That's the point. I think we can see a lot of that by looking at the commandments. I'm not going to, but I think you can see that. All of these things that God instructs us to seek are related to our seeking God his way. Because you see, brethren, he wants us to prioritize and he wants us to value all of his works and his commandments. After all, they explain his way. God wants us to count these words and his commandments as precious words. They are to be prized treasures to us. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom. I've told you before, this verse is talking about it would be like having big ears, multiplying your ears, spreading them out so you can hear every word. If that you will incline your ears unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Do we do this? Do we do this? Then. And in the Hebrew, this is meaning, this is a prioritized order. This is the way it's supposed to be done. This verse here in this context, in verses 1 through 4, we're to be doing this. Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord. And then shall you find the knowledge of God. All of these verses just said, seek God. Put him first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can take Matthew 6, verse 33 and put it right over these verses because this is what this is implying. This is what it is saying. So that's the question. Do we do this? Do we seek for God this way? A lot of these things, I know I can put them in a way that seems very hard. It's not hard. It's commitment. And we come down to them and we ask the question and we say, does this describe our approach to seeking after God? The answer is either yes or no. Or that could be a third one. Well, sort of, kind of, but not really. Okay, I want us to consider some verses that I think will help us to understand other related goals that we are to desire and to seek. I told you, he tells us there are many things that we're to seek after, and he tells us there are many things that we're not to seek after. We're looking at some of those other things that he tells us that we're to be seeking after. We seek after those, it implies, goes along with the seeking first God. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Psalm 34 and verse 14 tells us to seek peace. Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. This pursuing after it means a continuous searching, a continually going that direction. Departing from evil, doing good, seeking peace, and continuously go in that direction. Psalm 105, verse 4 tells us to seek God's strength as well as his face, always. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. This is not a part-time job. This is not a part-time pursuit. This is evermore, always, ever. Colossians 3 and verse 1 tells us to seek those things that are above. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. If you've been risen with Christ, that's implying, real clear, if you've been baptized, you've come to repentance, you've come to belief, you've come to baptism, being put into that watery grave and raised up, having hands laid on, receiving the Holy Spirit, what this is saying is, then seek those things above, because those are the things of God, those are the things of Jesus Christ and God the Father, and that's where he sits, is next to the Father. Those are things that we obviously to be seeking after. That's what he's saying. Therefore, brethren, when we put all these verses from both the Old and the New Testament together, we come to the conclusion that for us as true believers, we are to seek God from God's perspective, not it is we see that it is not a spectator sport. It is not a spectator sport. What we see is that we must be involved. It means that we are to be seeking God deliberately at all times. I want you to notice with me now, kind of a little bit of a change of topic in one way, not change of topic, but the focus we've been going. Notice what Jesus told the woman at the well about seeking. Go with me to John 4, one verse, because you read the whole story and, you know, it would be good here, but get down to the chase. John 4:23. But the hour comes, Jesus is speaking into, and it now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because the Father seeks such to worship him. He is telling this woman at the well, therefore he is telling it to us. True worshipers are going to worship God in spirit and in truth because the Father seeks those who to worship him that are doing it that way. We are going to be seeking God. We are going to be seeking to do it his way. Brother, I want us to understand that we need to realize this. This is one of God's purposes in giving humanity life and breath. That we would come to the place that we would seek God, that we would desire this face-to-face with God, this, which is what He is wanting. He is wanting people that are willing to search for Him and to search for truth and all of this and to do it His way, spirit and in truth, worshiping Him. That's what God wants. That is a main purpose for God giving humanity life and breath. I also want us to remember that God invited Israel, the nation of Israel, Old Testament, into a close and an abundant relationship with God. God was seeking their worship and their fellowship. However, Israel failed to respond to God by seeking Him. In fact, they neglected Him. They failed to seek after Him. They neglected Him. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 18. New American Standard. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. This is what He's telling Israel. You've neglected Him. You forgot Him. Oh, yes, Israel sought God when things were going wrong for them. However, when their lives were peaceful, their interest in God diminished. There are places after places after places we can see that. I'm just making that statement here because it's there. And at times, it disappeared altogether. 2 points, 2 bullets. Israel neglected and they forgot. And the second bullet, Israel even forgot God's name. Now let me show you what God thinks about that, what He says about it. I'm going to Psalm 20 and verse 1. Psalm 20 and verse 1, this is from the New King James Version. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. They didn't. They didn't remember God's name. They didn't do that. God put them aside as a result of that. And to this day, they don't even know for sure how to even say God's name properly. And neither do we. Therefore, it is unclear today exactly how God's name is to be pronounced. We can take the words and we can do it and we can do the very best we can. But we didn't forget it because we never had it. That's not an excuse. I'm just saying we don't know it either. Not, we need to know that. Seeking God brings us closer and closer to God. God is going to give us what the name is. We don't really have it now. As a result, God had to discipline Israel to make them aware of the precious relationship He wanted with them. He always wanted Israel to turn to Him and to seek His face. Read what Jeremiah tells us in Lamentations 3 and verse 25. Lamentations 3 and verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. I'm going to read that verse again. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul, to the person, the being, the person who seeks Him. This is one of those implications of a face-to-face with God. This is what He is desiring. This is what He wanted. None of us should feel that we don't have to constantly seek God because, after all, we already know Him. No, we know God, and we still are in that constant, always mode of seeking God to be in His face constantly. And that's just a good start. That's just a good start. Seeking God will take all of our lives. It's not a casual pursuit. And brethren, we need to do this with passion and with fervor and dedication and intensity. Not a casual pursuit. At all times, always, we need to be hungry and thirsty to find and to fellowship with God. The psalmist described it as panting for God. In Psalm 42 in verse 1, as the heart pants after the water brooks. This is a heart, we could call it a deer. Something is very, very thirsty, and he's been running, whatever it is, and he's very, very thirsty. They pant. They want this water, and they want it desperately, want it now. So pants my soul after you, O God. So I have a question for each one of us. Does that describe our attitude and our desire and our seeking God? Just like we hunger and thirst. We want it. We need it now. We're searching. We're seeking. We want that from God. Because you see, brethren, God is paying attention to those who truly seek Him. And it cannot be part-time. He is paying attention to those who want to know Him. I mean, remember, God has already paid His most precious Son in order for us to be able to come to know Him and to become like Him and to live with Him forever. Jesus Christ paid that life so that we can do this. And also remember this, God sought us first. That should count for a lot. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. Christ died for us. Jesus died for us. That's how much God wants us to be seeking after Him. He gave us the way. You see, God desires for us to be with Him, to be in His presence. He woos us now into His presence. He makes all these promises. I'm not going to go through all of that. You can go through the promises that God has offered to us. Do you think those promises are going to be there if we approach God haphazardly or casually? I don't think so. He paid the life of His Son. I know He wasn't the Son at the time. I understand that. I know you know that. But they together decided that this being would come down and die so that we could have the path to be able to seek God always and to be in His presence always. I want you to go with me to Jeremiah 29. Verse 13. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. So, brethren, let me bring this to a conclusion by asking all of us. Can we respond with a deliberate and consistent response to His call to seek Him with all of our heart? He's given us everything we need to be able to do so. Now it's up to us. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all as we seek our great God face to face. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.